This is WHJE. I am Ben Putt, and I will be introducing Tracy Haddon. She is my aunt, as well as she's a history teacher at Carmel High School. Also, she used to be the head of the history department, as well as she taught a few college-level history classes. During this time, lastly, she is a freshman teacher this year for history. So how are you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing well, just wrapping up some finals, and it's a rough few weeks getting through the finals and then the holiday season. So I'm going to start off with a few questions. So the first one is, Tracy, what is your favorite song that would you bring on the desert? If you're surrounded on a desert island, what would be your first song that you would bring on the desert island trip?
Well, the first one is easy. My favorite song of all times is Dire Straits' Romeo and Juliet.
So Dire Stone, is that kind of from the movie that, because the Dire Stone is from the story as Romeo and Juliet, right, from the book? So what is that in the scene? Does that create a scene in the movie for your image? Or
actually, I don't think this was part of the movie. This is just part of their album called Alchemy. And I love it because I think it is just a really great song. I love the keyboards and piano on it. And my kids all know that if you ever ask me what's my favorite song, that will be my answer. And it's kind of become a family joke because they know that if they ask, what do I want to hear, that will be my answer.
You shouldn't come around here singing up at people like that. Anyway, what you gonna do about it? Juliet, the dice was loaded from the start, and I bet then you exploded into my heart, and I forget the movie song. When you're gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong, Juliet.
Okay, probably the second choice is a little bit different. I think it would be Warren Zevon's Werewolves of London, but it's for a different reason. I don't necessarily love the song, but when my kids were younger, we used to sing and dance to it, and the kids loved to howl like werewolves, so it brings back really good memories of when my kids were younger and we would listen to music together.
So when you heard the song, was it during the Halloween or the fall? Because it sounds like a Halloweenish song.
Sounds like it, but they like to hear scary things and howl like werewolves all year round.
So where have you ever took them to the zoo and the werewolves and stuff? Because I imagine that's part of a memory from the song.
My middle son, Joe, was a werewolf for Halloween. And I don't know if that song was the inspiration for that or what, but they did all love the song.
So was Joe the only one that wanted to have to be the werewolf, or was there anyone else in the cousin line that wanted to be?
No, none of them would ever want to be what the other one was. They were very competitive over who could think up the coolest Halloween costume when it was Halloween time.
Did they have to make their own Halloween costumes, or do you have to go out and buy one at that time frame? Because I remembered my mom, she had in the time, because you're both sisters, I was just remembered because she told me about the Peanuts costume. So you had to be the Charlie Brown. You had to be all made and customized by grandmother Sarah. I just remember that she always made the costume for them. So did you guys have to make that at the time, or was it different when you had to go out and buy the costumes?
Well, I always felt like I had to make them so I could live up to what my mom did. My mom was incredibly creative when it came to Halloween, and she would make paper mache masks, and a lot of times our Halloween costumes would be a political statement, and so I felt like I had to try to live up to those expectations. So I did make them when we were growing up.
What was your favorite costume with the story behind it that you made for a long time, if you can remember one?
Well, I've made some creative ones that were really weird.
What?
My oldest son wanted to be a brain, and so we quilted a giant brain around the top half of his body, and he was kind of a nerd on the bottom and a big old brain on the top.
Did the glasses have? Did he have glasses to wear with the nerd?
I think we attached it to the costume somewhere.
So was that made mask, or was it just a made up costume with face paint?
It wasn't just face paint. It was like a quilt bubble over his head, so it looked like a giant brain.
So did they what others did they wear for Halloween besides the werewolf and the brain?
The youngest one had one of the cutest ones. He was the abominable snowman. He had white hair, and so he had a white furry costume, and we did the eyes all black. That was one of his favorites.
I just feel like you said each person was something kind of a little scary for each holiday, because the abominable snowman's obviously Christmas and wintertime as well for holidays. And then there's others like the werewolf, that'd be Halloween. So, and the brain as well. So it's kind of have a good tradition of holidays, and it brings in, I think that's a good song memory, because it can bring in each holiday, and it kind of represents two Halloween, one Christmas, or what holiday people celebrate. And I think that's good for a wintertime experience.
Kitchen door. You better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again.
So Tracy, for your last choice for the song, what is your worst song that you would listen to on the stranded island, on the desert?
It would probably be anything by the Bee Gees, especially Stayin' Alive. Unfortunately, when I was in high school, that's when disco was very in style, and I hated it then, and I still hate it. And I think it would be torture to have that as the only song I had to listen to.
So behind the song, was there like a memory that you think about when you're on that island, when you heard that song?
Actually, probably the memories might be kind of good, because I did enjoy high school, and I did enjoy all the dances that we would have after games, and they would play those songs, but I still don't like them, and I remember not liking them.
I get it, because people have different tastes for music, because I remembered, I think when people get into music, they listen what they listen to in high school, and that's kind of makes their genre music when they get older. That's what they listen to. So how often would you hear the song at the dance parties? What do you consider after the football games, or what sports you guys had at the time?
It was every dance.
So, Tracy, what luxury item would you bring on this trip if you were stranded on an island?
I think I would like to take either a guitar or a piano, and I don't play either one, but I have always wanted to play one, and I'm kind of guessing I might have a lot of free time on an island, and I think that'd be fun to learn and figure out.
So, when you bring, which one would you rather play, the piano or the guitar?
The piano. But taking a piano to a desert island would be hard, so it might be easier to take a guitar.
Have you played the piano before? I know my mom has before, but have you? Or
I have not taken official lessons. We got one when I was in high school, and I kind of played around because I could play music, or I could read music, but I never got good enough to say I play piano.
So what instrument did you learn when you played those music? Was it just your voice with choir, or was it something else?
No, I played the baritone in high school.
The baritone, so that's from the brass. Like, I imagine it would sound completely different from the piano. So what song that you would, another song for the piano, like, would you want to play any of those? Or what other song would you consider out of these nominations that you chose for the piano?
Romeo and Juliet has a great piano part to it, so I guess I would want to play that.
Nice. So what part from Romeo and Juliet would you want to play on?
Well, it accompanies the whole song, and it kind of like leads a lot of the parts. It's kind of a back and forth between the guitar and the piano if you listen to the song.
So what other songs would you want to play on the piano besides Romeo and Juliet?
Gosh, that's a hard question. Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, I tried to play Star Wars because the movie had come out when I was in high school, and that was kind of a fun one to try. The most challenging one was The Entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I could ever get good enough for that.
Did you play the Star Wars, the main theme? Because I remembered playing that in band just before the in-class concert. It was last year. And basically, we almost played it, but another class did instead. So did you remember at that time when you played it, or because it remember like a memory when you listened, like when you watched the movies, when you heard the song, when you were playing on the instrument? Tracy, so what would your story be to how to get off the desert island? Like, how would you find a way to get off? Because I know sounds like you're having a great time and entertainment on the island. You have the piano. You have these three songs that you enjoy. One of them is not really, but sometime you might have dances on there at the time. But what would you do to get off?
I think my only hope of getting off would either be to create a bonfire that was big enough for a passing ship to see, or to write SOS in like logs, or just cut out. And this is the hardest question, because I don't like to reread books.
The last question is, what would be your favorite book if you had to read?
An area that spelled SOS, so maybe a satellite could see. But I thought long and hard, and I wanted one that would be really long, mm-hmm. so that it would take a long time to get through it,
mm-hmm.
and one that was just a great adventure story. And I think probably what I'm going to say is The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas.
So the book that you just talked about, is there like a good summary you would say, like, you remember reading this book? You mentioned you read books usually over and over. Like, have you?
Oh, I don't read them.
Oh, no,
over
you don't. Never mind. You don't. So what do you remember from this book that you read before?
It is a great adventure story of kind of like love and revenge. And it is a kind of mental thriller. And there are all sorts of puzzles, and it's just very well written. So I think that would be the one.
So do you remember any characters from the story? Because you mentioned there's heart, and then there are breakups and all this kind of drama in there. Have you remembered any characters from a long time, or what do you...
Well, there's the main character. I don't want to give the book away, but I'll give you a hint. He spends a lot of time in prison, and then he plots his revenge.
Oh, wow. That's kind of a good... like summary, someone to get interested in a book for like investigation and see how he got it, the trials and what else, like how he would get out of it. And it's kind of tough to see.
And the bad characters are really bad, and you know, the good characters are complex. So it's a good book.
So what else would you want to say? Like, you have anything else to say? Or
I hope I never end up on a desert island. It'd be awfully lonely.
It would. I mean, I'm just imagining that, because you have the ocean, you have the sand, you have... I actually thought you would use this extra logs. Like, would you, like, ever thought of, like, making a, like, a ship, a tiny little raft or anything to get off, or would that be too much for you?
I have a thing. I don't like sharks, and there are a lot of sharks in the ocean. I think it might go badly for me if I tried to create a raft to get off. I think it would be safer to wait and be rescued.
So, Tracy, would you, like... How do you find your food materials on the island? Because I think that'll be, like, I know that possibly trees and stuff. What would be your solution?
Well, I think you'd have to go fishing, mm-hmm. and that would probably be the bulk of your diet. And hopefully there are coconuts, and hopefully there are some root plants. I think a lot of your time, almost 90% of your time, would actually be spent trying to find food.
I know I mentioned that you're a history teacher. I imagine most people with this project would say that they'll say to bring their cell phones on it, because that probably their luxury item, because most people are used to this generation. I'm surprised that you said you would use what you mentioned earlier, the piano, obviously, and then the book, and then the three songs. I'm just surprised because I know your history teacher. How would you see this observation? How would people live on the island without a cell phone? Because I had that on my mind about this.
Well, I know your generation can't believe it, but there used to be a time where you didn't have cell phones. And I know that if you had your cell phone, mine would die within 24 hours because there's no electricity to keep charging it, and there are no cell towers. So it's not going to provide you. It's not going to provide you with much. You have to find another way to entertain yourself, and that's why I wanted something that I would have to learn.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking about that with your... I'm trying to remember what the luxury item was. What was it?
Either a guitar or piano. I think okay. We settled the on piano. The piano.
Yeah, piano. So, like, would you ever want to go back and think of, if you had to take private lessons to learn the piano, like, what song would you want to play? I know there's Charlie Brown, obviously. There's others. Like, is there, like, your favorite song out there that you would want to play on the piano that is kind of classical?
That's hard. I mean... there's Beethoven's Fifth is probably a lot of people's kind of go-to if you're talking about classical music.
Because I know most people understand Beethoven, because I remembered in elementary school, I was watching a bunch of Beethoven's and his history and all that, and with his loss of death, I think that was part of it. So I think that is a great like song to play because it represents the history of how Beethoven write his songs. Mm-hmm. Because I think at the time, was he just writing because he was deaf and he would actually write his own music? Is that how it happened? Or
no, he actually had hearing until very much later in life. So he was not deaf, and you're going to get a quick history lesson.
Awesome.
Like when he started writing, it was during the era where music was very much logic and reason and mathematical, and so the thing, his earlier music is less emotional than his later music because he's of this time period where they were experimenting kind of with the logic and science of music. So when he did go deaf, you know, he had mastered kind of the science of music.
How did they find out like the math materials beyond that scientific like music that he's working on a long time ago?
Well, if you just listen to it, it's like most of the composers of that time period really were immersed in music theory and experimenting that way. Very much like the philosophers of the time period were making all sorts of gains in philosophy and thought and rationality and reason, the music kind of mimicked that. Of course, later in his life, the music became much more emotional as artists began trying to study more the emotions of people. And I find it is interesting that his hearing loss occurred and he was creating music that was to appeal more to the emotions than to kind of the science. And I think that's pretty spectacular, too.
That's a good history lesson, Tracy. So is there anything else you'd like to say? Or...
no, thanks for interviewing me.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks, Tracy. This is 91.3 WHA, the Voice of the Greyhounds.